But tonight I have the opportunity to share with you the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is a privilege and an honor. We sing number 19.
Sin thee,
to look at a verse in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 22. In verse 54, Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. I was looking at that. I've been thinking about it. That Peter followed afar off. The Lord himself, that he had been with for quite a long time. But yet, he followed afar off. And then it says in verse 61, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. I know that I can say that I've had times that I've failed my Lord. And I too have wept bitterly. But I look upon this in the very first part. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. He said nothing. He looked upon Peter. And tonight, the Lord is looking upon us. He's looking upon each and every one here. And it says that Peter followed afar off. And I was thinking about Adam. After he failed, the Lord came and said, where art thou? And I ask that tonight to each and every one here. Where are you? Little ones, where are you? All of us, where are we? Peter followed afar off after all of that time with the Lord. And then in chapter 23, in verse 46, and when Jesus cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things that were done, smote their breasts and returned. And all of his acquaintance and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off. Where are you? Young people, are you standing afar off? Are you watching from the sidelines? You come to meeting, even us adults, we come to meeting. Are we standing afar off? Are we enjoying the richness of our Savior? Because it says here in verse 46, and when Jesus cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. The blessed Savior died, shed his blood. It says the centurion pierced his side, and forthwith came blood and water. That is a sign of death. He died. And he died for you, he died for me. Where art thou? Those are some thoughts that I've had. Even the ones that were close to him, his acquaintances and the women, those that followed him,
They stood afar off. And those were two phrases that the Lord's put on my heart. Where art thou? And are we afar off? Where are we? So we go to Acts chapter 2. In verse 39, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off. All that are afar off. Jesus died for you. He died to make a way to come before a just and holy God. We had no way of getting there ourselves. I know many times it was mentioned earlier today how we put things off. We think to ourselves, well, I can do that tomorrow. I'll read two extra chapters tomorrow. I don't have to read today. We need to be diligently following our Lord. And that's important. And I know that there's people watching all the time. There was a comment made about a lady, how the people that worked with her, they said, there's something that you have. What is it? What do you have? If we're walking afar off, I don't think that will be noticeable. And the Lord looks down upon Peter and doesn't say a word, but he just looks at him. And I know that he looked down at him in love, but it struck Peter's heart. Because I know that for a fact that people watch, and they will pay attention, and they will notice. Because I remember that brought a thought to mind. There was a lady that I worked with in Cedar Rapids when I was in Harnischweiger. And I didn't want to work with her, but that's a long story, but I ended up having to work with this lady and I didn't want to. And after about a week, she sat down and she brought her lunch and I had mine. We were welding. We were doing a boom. Building a boom that was a preliminary project. It was a prototype. And after about a week, she said to me, what is it with you? And I thought she meant, why was I ignoring her? And I didn't. I wasn't, but I was. And I thought that's what she meant. And I said, what do you mean? And she said, you're different. I said, well, what do you mean by different? She says, I know how you were. And you're not that way anymore. And I should have said, thank you. But it gave me an opportunity that I sat down and shared the gospel with her. And I'm happy to say that she got saved over the course of the next 3-4 weeks. And it was quite a joyous time. But people are watching. Because I can remember shortly after I got saved, I finally asked my wife after about 6 months, and I said, Dora, what do you think? Where are you? And she says, I was just watching to see if it would stick. And yeah, there was some bets made at where I worked. Oh, he'll let go of that in about 2 months. He won't stick with it. It'll just go away. That was over 40 years ago. And that's one of the things that people are watching. And we should be an example. And I have a Bible study that I have at a nursing home. And there's a man that was there, and he came, and he started coming real regular. And I've known him for several years. And one day I put him on the spot. I said, "Ray, if you were asked, what is your right or what is your claim to go to heaven, what would you tell him?" And he said, "Well, I help around here. I do good things. I help the nurses when I can, and I go around and I help people." And I said, "Well, that's good." I said, "But tell me." I says, "What claim do you have to be in heaven?" And he said, "The same thing. I'm a pretty nice guy. I do things here." And I said, "But that's not good enough." I says, "You're trying to work your way to heaven." And I says, "The only thing that they're going to balance that out with, if you take a set of scales, they're going to put the Lord on this side. And where are you going to end up?" And I said to him, "We've talked about this many times." I said, "Ray, what chance do you have to go to heaven if you would die today?" He says, "Well," I pointed at him, I says, "What have we talked about?" And he says, "Well, Jesus died for me." And I said, "That is the correct answer." And I said, "That is the only answer." And he sat there and he thought about it, and it just like a light came on in his head. And I sat there and I was just in amazement, and I thought, wow. And the next week I went in there and I said, "Ray, how do you get to heaven?" "By the blood of Jesus." I was so impressed with that. And it's just little things like that that go on in life. You know, little encouragements that we get from the Lord when we have an opportunity to share with someone, to speak about the one who died for me. And he died for everyone in here. Are we walking afar off? Are we walking close? What do we have that we can share with others that they can see in us? I can't share auto mechanics with everyone. Doug, you can't share farming with everyone. A lot of them don't understand it. But one thing that we can share, that we have, and that is salvation. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. I've got a pamphlet here. I'm going to read the first paragraph. It says, "God has made known to us
as the God of all grace. And the position in which we are set is that of tasting that He is gracious. The natural feeling of our heart is, I know that Thou art an austere man. There is the want in all of us naturally of the understanding of the grace of God. When I grew up, I was raised a Catholic. And I heard bits and pieces of the gospel. I heard John 3:16 many times. But it seems like things were just kind of skipped over so quickly that it never had a chance to settle in. And one of the things that, being a Catholic, that we were taught is Catholics are going to heaven. No one else is. And I always thought that was a little strange because I knew some people that went to other churches and I thought they were good people. And I couldn't understand how God could leave them out when some of them were better than me. And then a man came into my area when I was working there at Harnischweiger. And we had a terrible time because he was saved and I wasn't. And I worked on him as hard as I could to drive him out of the area. And the more I doubled down on him, the firmer he got. See, I had a misconception then that I could overrule people and push them around. But in my simple-mindedness, I did not understand that when there's 20 or 30 people praying for that man, he's going to stand fast. I did a lot of terrible things to him. I mentioned it on that Zoom meeting a couple of years ago. I would open up his lunch pail, take out his sandwich and take a bite, put it back in his lunch pail. And then I'd stand back and watch, see how he reacted. I did that to his apple. He picked it up, he looked at it, and then he ate it. Never gave a word. Never said a thing. I know he knew I was doing it, but he never said a word. And you know, that worked on me more than anything. I just kept thinking, I can't get that guy. I can't get him. I want him to blow up. I want him to get mad. And he never did. And after 6 months, after I made the comment, I'll drive him out of here in 6 months. Well, the driving was on his side. He drove me to the Lord Jesus. And like I said, that was 40-some years ago. And I'm thankful for that. There's so many things that we can look back on and we can share, you know, and immediately you get involved in Bible studies and you start to grow. But I know that the Lord was looking down on me, and He was looking down on Alex, and He was paying attention to that situation. And God was looking down on Alex with love. And He was looking down on me with concern. Because He knew where I was at. I was afar off. And that's one of the things that we'll look in the book of Ephesians. There's a couple of verses in there that are very
In Ephesians chapter 2, we'll start with verse 13. I know this has to do with a believer, but this will tell us the place that we come to when we're no longer afar off. It says, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace." So making peace. When the Lord appeared to the disciples, he said, "My peace I give you." And that was one thing that I never had my entire life up to that point, was peace. I was tormented. I was caught with every whim and fancy. And I look back on that, and I think to myself anyway, I say, why me? Why me? Because when the Lord was standing there looking out, he was looking out past the cross. He was looking out at way into the future. And he saw Bernie Brecht. He saw Bob Toney and everyone else in here that belongs to him. I hope everyone in here does belong to him. But if you don't, you are afar off. And that's something that can be taken care of by coming to the Lord Jesus. We've heard it so many times, accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior. And that's about as simple as it can be said. I told Alex, I said, "You're wrong." I says, "You got to be a Catholic. A church or a belief that I had that I left probably 10 years earlier and hated, I diligently defended against him." And for the life of me, I cannot understand that. But it was all I had. It was all I had, was that Catholic faith. But it had been ruined for me. But yet, for him, I defended it. For Al, I says, "You got to be a Catholic." And he said, "No." And he just kept at me. And they say that Satan knows all our weaknesses. God knows that too. He knows our weaknesses. And Alex would bring me gospel tracts. And at first I just left them. But then my curiosity got piqued, and I would stick them in my pocket. And I would go off into a corner somewhere, and I would read it. And I didn't want him to know that, because then I would be showing weakness. But the Lord worked on me in that fashion for a long time. And finally, I can remember, I got home that night and I just could not forget anything. I had so much going on in my mind, and I thought, I got to do something. And I got down on my knees and I asked for forgiveness. And I confessed to the Lord and asked Him to be my Savior. And I'm not going to say there was lightning bolts. A lot of people think that there's got to be some type of a commotion going on. But I will say, when I got up off my knees, I felt lighter. I felt relieved. So we look in the same chapter of Ephesians in verse 1. And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. That's where you're at if you're far off. If you are looking from a distance at Calvary, you are far off and you are dead in your trespasses. Where in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. As I read earlier, I know that thou art an austere man. That's one of the things that I always, when I grew up, God was over here. He was in this circle over here. I was over here. And the teaching that I had, I couldn't get from here to here. There were too many complications in the religion I was brought up in that you couldn't get from point A to point B. And that was confusing for me. So it was easy to give up and go into this type of a life, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even to come. I know many times it says, there's a lot of times it says, but God. And in verse 4 it says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins. I was dead. And I actually didn't really care until I started fighting with Alex. But like I said, the Lord prevailed. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. He and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That was the mindset that I had, that works. That was how I was taught. God, me. The two would never have met if I would have stayed in works. And that is, it's a terrible thing, because the natural man, the flesh, you know, it rejoices in having something to show for itself. That it can, I did this. God, you should pay attention to me, because I'm doing things down here. But no. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And one of the hardest things I had to do is I told Alex, this was about a week or two before I accepted Christ, I says, you know, everything you're telling me, it sounds good. That's how far I progressed. I went from hating him to telling him, you know, everything you tell me sounds good. But, you know, I'm going to have to tell you, or have to say, that 80% of what I was taught by my parents, my grandparents, and all my relatives, 80%, I would have to say they taught me wrong. And I said, I don't know if I can swallow that. I says, what about my grandma, my grandpa? And I said, what about them? And he just said that if they didn't know the Lord, they're in eternity in hell. And I said, I don't know if I can swallow that. I said, I've got to say that, I've got to confess that everything I've been taught, almost everything, was wrong. And I did. Especially the works. And I'm so thankful of that because it leads a person into despair. Or you will have an arrogance about yourself that before God is a shameful thing. But if you're trusting in works, that's the only two answers or the only two ends you're going to get. You're either going to be in despair or you're going to be arrogant. And I just have a verse in Jeremiah. Jeremiah 31:3. It says, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And then in 1 Thessalonians 4:7, it says, God hath not called us to uncleanness, but to holiness. And then it says in the Song of Solomon, draw me. And when you, I know, it seemed to me that the Lord was patient, like he was with Peter after he denied him three times. It says the Lord just looked on him. And the Lord is looking down now, and he's looking at each and every soul here. And if there's anyone in here that is still standing afar off and yet not come to the Savior, I want you to, because the Lord is drawing you, or I wouldn't be here tonight. The Lord is drawing you with ever lasting love and with loving kindness. And like I said in the Song of Solomon, it says, draw me and we will run after thee. That is the result when a heart is opened up to the Lord Jesus. He will draw us, and we will be that example that people will see. And that's, I never thought that anyone would ever come up to me and say that, but I didn't have a very godly life before that. So we sing number 17. Have you any room for Jesus? He who bore the load of sin, as he knocks and seeks admission, sinner, will you let him in? Or are you going to stand afar off? Are you going to look from a distance and think that everything's okay, I'm close enough?
Be room for Jesus.
Time is short. The Lord is coming back, and I expect soon. Paul said the same thing nearly 2,000 years ago. But we see some things, and we know that the time is close. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't wait until tonight. Now is the accepted time of salvation.